Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. You think she said it like that? Almost like, here it is, deal with it. And by the way, your grandson, he'll be the son of the Most High God. Yeah, how do you even say that? The angel told her not to be afraid. And Mary, well, we know she was faithful. So maybe she just decided to believe him. That whatever was about to happen, she was gonna be okay. When do you think she realized that she hadn't accidentally found herself in this situation, but she'd actually been chosen for it? Because when you know that you're chosen, that's when you know that you're loved. And when you're loved, well, that gives you the kind of confidence you need to walk through doors everyone else wouldn't dare go through. But Mary dared. She dared to trust God as she watched him give life, then give it up for our sakes. And it all, in the unforgettable miracles and the very scary moments, she trusted his will rather than demanded answers. Walked forward instead of turned back. Stepped out instead of hid. Kind of makes you want to be like that little girl, huh? So do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests.
So the Advent series is entitled this year, The Wonder of Christmas. And you'll be seeing, if you go to our website, you will see the beautiful the front page is about the wonder of Christmas. And as you've heard over and over again in the last few moments, that the theme for this message is love. And before I just kind of get into it, have you ever gone on Instagram and there's a reel playing and the caption is, I had to watch this thing six times before I ever got it. Anybody ever get that? I did that the other day and I still haven't figured out what they were trying to tell me. I don't know. Anybody over 60 watch Instagram? Follow Instagram? I didn't think so. Okay. All right, I'm learning there is some benefit to that. So yeah, so anyhow, but you know what? It did stir up my curiosity. It did. Okay, I looked and and maybe one of you can let me know what it's all about. But my curiosity was stirred up, and I'm hoping today, especially with everything that's going on in our world, that your spiritual curiosity has been stirred up. For example, questions like a couple of these. Have you been wondering lately what is going on in our world? That should be stirring up your spiritual curiosity. Have you wondered what to do when you don't know what to do? That's a pretty good question as well. So the word wonder is going to play a significant role in this message today. So just kind of tune into that. And as you listen and allow the Holy Spirit to just get you to wonder in that spiritual vein, in that creative sense. So hopefully with everything that's going on in our world and in our own personal lives, our spiritual curiosity has been stirred up. And here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that because of what's going on over in Israel and the conflict that's going over there, and we've seen, we went from the Ukraine and then we went to Israel, and those are just some of the major things that have caught our attention. We need to be asking ourselves, especially as we see our world centering in on the nation of Israel and what's going on between them and Palestine. Ask ourselves this question, because I don't know about you, in the morning I do pray about those situations, but they overwhelm me, and I can only dwell on the topic of our what's going on in our world for so long, and then I have to come to the point where I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live today? Because that's the key for me, is I can't change what's going on in the other parts of the world, but I certainly can. I can be in a position where my person, where I can respond and say, God, I just want to be obedient to you. I asked the question, Lord, how should I live my life here and now? And I think that's a good question for all of us to ask this morning, is, Lord, how should I live my life here and now? So today's message is all about stirring up our curiosity. And in particular, we want to stir up our curiosity on how to love more. And I want to use the word more strategically. How to love more strategically. Let's look at the passage of scripture that was referenced in the video, Luke 2, 6 through 14. And it's one that we often read this time of year. While they were there, referring to the shepherds, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, Joseph and Mary. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So this series, The Wonder of Christmas, and as we've discussed this as pastors and we've gotten together and considered what the Advent series would look like, we've had different topics assigned to us, and so this morning my topic is on the one on love. But what we wanted you to understand when it comes to Christmas, that this is all about God making the first move. Whatever you're going through, you need to know that God has made the first move in your life. You may not recognize that. You may have your attention all the way around. But I want you to know that whatever is going on in your life, where you find yourself, that God has made the first move towards you. And today we'll take a look at that. For example, John 3 and 16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." 1 John 4 and 16 says this, and we're talking about the love of God and how God was the prime mover. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Emphasis on love. John, in this short verse, is saying true love is compelling. It compels us to serve and accept others no matter what. So today, as we examine the topic of love, we examine the love candle that was so meaningful, I think, certainly to the Chambers family, but for all of us that have been with the Chambers family, we walk with them and we've done life together, we realize how important today's love candle was to them, and also to us and to others that are walking through some difficult times and walking through. And I heard I heard Jill say, and I thought she said it so well when she talked about how love and grief can take the same place in our heart. And they're not two different things, but they do travel together. God's love is compelling. It compels us to serve and to accept others no matter what. The love for God, the love of God for people so compelled him to make the first move in manifesting his love towards people, that he came in the form of a baby, as we saw illustrated in the bumper video on that first night. The angel said some beautiful things to the shepherd that helps understand the power of love, the power of love. And the angel said this to the shepherds, said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." So my first point is this. First point is, love conquers our fears. Love conquers our fears. There is no fear in love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, what does it do? It drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love, but the perfect love of God drives out fear. So, I wonder, let's go to that word wonder. I wonder if in our day, there is a need for God's perfect love to drive out fear. I wonder. I wonder how the young couple are doing who are wondering what to do because of rising mortgage rates. What about the single parent who is paying over $2,000 per month for rent plus utilities plus food? I wonder how people on a limited income are going to cope with the rising cost of groceries. Have you been to the grocery store lately? I'm not the shopper in my house. Gracie is, and she does an incredible job, but every week she will tell me as she takes a look at the flyers, look at this, look at that, and she'll say, this used to be for $4, and now it's $6 and $7. So I wonder how people on limited income are going to cope with the rising cost of groceries. And I would encourage you that any type of a grocery donation that you see out there these days, do your part to contribute to the cause, because there are some needy situations. At a recent community meal, one of my friends came up to me, and I consider them my family, and we do have a community meal that we put on the second Wednesday of the month. It is actually it's facilitated by one of our life groups, and they just knock the ball out of the park every time they come together. And I think that is certainly one way of expressing a love. And at this community meal, one of my friends, one of my family, came up to me with fear in their eyes, and concern about what is happening in our world. And I think it was just right after October the 7th, and so a lot of things were fresh and vivid in this person's mind. And the person said to me, "Charlie, what is going on in our world?" I was at one of my neighbors and just having a kind of a little bit of a visit, and not, it's not often that they request prayer. They're not religious as going to church and that kind of thing, but certainly there is a spiritual hunger. And sort of out of the ordinary, they said to me, "We've got to pray. We've got to pray because of what is going on in our world." And the point that I'm making, that it seems like every place I go, I'm aware of people that are concerned. And that people are wondering what's going to happen, and you can see, and you can just feel fear. Perhaps that may be something that you are experiencing yourself today. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says this, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Cast all your anxiety, or cast all your cares on him because He cares for you. I want to share a quote that comes from our work together as pastors for this series. And it's a quote, and it's trying to describe a picture and see if you can just imagine in your mind what I'm going to describe here. It says, picture, if you will, everything that you worry about. Think about it right now. What are you worrying about? You know, and it's okay. Be honest. There are times that we do worry. There are times, I know, you know, I say, well, you shouldn't worry, but we do. And there are times that, you know, he said, you shouldn't be anxious, but we are. And so it's okay for us to admit that. And it's okay for us to say, okay, what do we do with that? And so this is a, just maybe this will help. Picture, if you will, everything that you worry about. It could be your job. It could be your finances. It could be your family. I know that Gracie and I, we care for our family. There are times that we worry about our family. And I'm just not sure. And yeah, we shouldn't do that. But there are times that we know that, yeah, man. And we know that the best thing for us to do is to bring it to the Lord. So maybe it is your job today. Maybe it's your finances, your family. It might be your health. There might be people here. And I know that there are. Take a minute and really picture them. Now picture yourself holding them in your hands, whatever that situation, your family and your maybe your health. They are heavy. They weigh down your heart. You wish you could do something, and they're in your head. They are what lead you to feel overwhelmed and anxious day after day. Now, picture yourself taking all those worries and casting them or throwing them as hard and as far as you can. You know, just throw them as far and as hard as you can, because you want to get rid of them. But you are not throwing them away. You are throwing them into the very capable arms of God. You're throwing to someone that can take care of it. It's just not this random, okay, I'm going to cast it. No, I'm throwing into the arms of God. And what a relief that brings to Grayson. And I got to tell you that when Grayson and I pray, I mean, we pray daily. We pray daily because there's the ongoing things. And maybe that's with you. Said, well, I prayed the other day for this. But it's okay. It's okay to bring. And you know, there is a relief. There is a peace that comes as we throw and we cast our cares as hard as we can to God, and knowing that he is the one that is catching them. So I think we as Christians have a wonderful opportunity by our actions to show how we cast our fears on God. This morning, I want us to pause right here, because I think this is a pertinent point. I think some of you today are battling with fear. And I'd like you to bow your head. And I'm not asking you don't have to raise your hand at all. I'm just going to pray. But I just really believe that I need to pray today. I need to pray. I need to pray that God's love, his perfect love, will just right now come and just overwhelm you. Overwhelm you today. And that today, that as his perfect love comes, it casts out fear. Casts out fear. So I'm praying right now that it, as this message will go on, that the fear that you have, that it's going to subside, and that somehow, by faith, you're just going to cast that fear and concern. Lord Jesus, right now, as Lord, for my friends that are here, those that are having fears, and Lord, and I know and I identify with that. And so today I pray that your love will come, because your love casts out all fear. Your love comes and your love dominates. And so, Father, today as we throw our cares to you and we yield to your incredible presence, which is love, and you are the one that says, just let me do it. Give it to me. And so, Father, today, in the middle of this message, we give our fear, we give our anxiousness to you, because your love, your perfect love, casteth all fear. In Jesus' name, amen. My second point is this. Love celebrates our fortune. Now, in the opening scripture, here's the question. What were the angels celebrating? What were they celebrating? Were they celebrating the good news in heaven that Christ is born? What was their purpose for that celebration in the heavenly skies that the shepherds certainly were witness to? They were celebrating They were celebrating our good fortune. Now try to follow this thought. They were celebrating our good fortune. They were celebrating this baby in the manger that had just been born on that night was going to make all things right for mankind and for us. It was a celebration. They were privy to all kinds of information, but they were celebrating what the birth of Christ meant. Not just that he had come, not only that this was the Messiah, but that he had come to make everything's right. And we know that that still is unfolding even before our eyes. This is what love does. Love celebrates the fortune and victory of others because love loves when things are made right. Love is the motivation of heaven. Jesus told this story. It's a parable. And parables, Jesus often would use that teaching tool. And a parable was a story. It wasn't necessarily true, but it was a story that had a heavenly meaning. It was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so in the chapter of John 15, or Luke 15, sorry. There is the story is told, and Jesus says it this way. He says, he's talking about a woman. And you recall how Jesus had talked about the good shepherd and how that when if there was one sheep, 99 were in the fold, and one sheep was lost, that the shepherd would go after it. And there was a theme that Jesus was talking about. And he talked about how that shepherd would go after the lost. He gave everything he could to go find the lost. And then also he told the story about the prodigal son and about how that lost son came back. So this was part of a series of stories that Jesus was telling to illustrate something. See if you can catch what it was. So Jesus says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. All right, you hear the story there. It says, rejoice with me, I have found my loss. And that's the emphasis that Jesus was making about something that was lost. And now is found, and the rejoicing that goes ahead takes place. So in the same way I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner repents. So get the picture. Get the picture with me this morning as the woman rejoices. It was more than excitement. It was more than, look, I found my lost coin. She turns this into, say, I'm not just to a few. She wants to invite everybody in the neighborhood. She turns it into, as it was described in some of our researches, it was a block party. She wanted everybody to know on her block that this coin that was lost, now it has been found, and she is celebrating, and she wanted everybody to celebrate with her. So friends and neighbors were notified to come and celebrate, and if that were in our day, social media would have been hopping, and those that are 60 and over would have no idea what was going on. But that's okay. But the rest of us would, okay, because I'm not going to get classified in that thinking. All right, here we go. Okay, all right, okay, so it was friends and neighbors were notified and come to celebrate. And I don't know if you figured this out as you follow that parable, who the woman was in the story or what she reflected in the story. As you follow the story that Jesus was telling, really the woman, the widow, she reflects the heart of God. She reflects the heart of God and his pursuit of the lost. She reflects the heart of God, God will do everything that he can to reach out to the lost, to retrieve them, to bring them home, to see that they are found. That's what God has done for each one of us in this room this morning. how we have been the recipients of God's grace and God's mercy, and that before any of us ever came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, I want you to know that God was reaching out. God was seeking us. God was looking for the lost. And before you and I were ever found in Jesus Christ, we were lost. That's what the Bible says. We were lost. But the Bible also tells us that when the lost are found, something takes place. And so Jesus pointing, you know, he was talking about that when the lost are found, that it's about what goes on in the kingdom, and that there is a heavenly scene, and that all heaven rejoices, and they rejoice in knowing that one has been lost. All heaven is celebrating the fact that this is what happened. God's love won, because it was love, God's love that compels. It was God's love that compels him to go after the lost. It's God's love that causes him to celebrate when the lost is found. Every one of us, we are falling in that category this morning. Heaven is celebrating God's love in this story, that love is saved. God is celebrating that God's love found a lost soul. Here's the question. Man, this is tough. I wonder if God is still searching for the lost coin. I wonder if he's still reaching out. I wonder if he's still going after it. How are you praying lately? Are you still praying for unsaved lost ones and friends? Are you? I told this story yesterday to some of our leaders, and I have some friends that, they're friends, and I care about them deeply, and I had stopped praying for them. I stopped praying for them because it didn't seem like anything was happening. And I was telling them in our Alpha series, and if you haven't taken Alpha, next time we offer, please do. But in the Alpha series, there's a story that is told about a soldier who is dying in the foxhole, and he knows he's dying, so he says to his friend, please, I'm not going to make it, but when you go back home, will you please look up this address and look up this individual and let him know that what he taught me in Sunday school, it stuck. And so the soldier dies, and the war ends, and this guy goes back home, and he finds the address, and he looks up this individual, and he knocks on the door, and he says, I just want you to know that so-and-so died, but before he died, he told me to come see you and let you know that what you taught him in Sunday school, it stuck. Now, you would have thought that the guy was quite excited about that. You would have thought the guy would have been all kind of smiling, but he hung his head. He hung his head, and he said, you know what? He said, I gave up teaching Sunday school. I gave up teaching Sunday school because I didn't think I was making a difference. Oh, I tell you, when I heard that story, because I had taken my friends off my prayer list, I was convicted. And I thought, God, I got to keep praying. And then the next day I heard from one of my friends. That was good. Now, I didn't tell him about the four spiritual laws yet, you know, but... But, I mean, give me a break, okay? I just want you to know that you know, what we have to be careful that we don't insult the sovereignty of God. That's the point I'm making here. It's because God's heart is to go after the lost coin. Continuing, and he's still going out. And today you might feel a little bit lost yourself, but I want you to know that God's reaching out. You're here today because God pursued you. God went after you today, and he's going after your friends. And so don't be like me and take the names off the prayer list. Get them back on the prayer list. Join with me and continue to pray, because we never know how God is, because God's love compels. God's love, it casts out fear. God's love goes after the lost one. My point number three is, and love champions our freedom. Love champions our freedom. If you are a champion of a person or a cause, if you champion a cause or a principle, you support or you defend them. And so in this point, here's where we want to illustrate, is that God's love champions our freedom. He supports our freedom. He wants to defend our freedom. And I think the verse that describes Christ's mission, or how he championed our cause, is found over in Luke 4 and 18. And I love this. I love this verse. And it says, listen, this talks about Jesus. And he talks about this is my mission. And this is my cause. And this is what I'm championing this cause on behalf of mankind. And he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Who does Christ want to set free? I wonder if you know anyone who needs to be set free. Christ champions those that are in prison. Christ champions those that are poor, those that just need to be set free, or the blind eyes open. Jesus Christ is the champion of our freedom. And so I wonder today if you know anyone who needs to be set free. This is how God, over in 1 John 4:9, says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God demonstrated his love for us. When you read verses like Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and 1 John 4:9, you begin to understand that the mission of Christ is to be found. Not only was it Christ's mission, it was not only his cause, but it's also to be our cause. Because of the love of Christ that dwells within us, we too are to be those that champion the cause. We are those that are saying, we know that the love of Christ, when it's received, sets the captive free. We know that the blind see, those that are in spiritual darkness especially, their eyes are, we know that those that have been oppressed, they experience the liberty that God has for them. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 29, it's quite a section of verses, but I just want to look at verses 28 and to the end of the chapter. And Paul has been talking about the mystery that has been so long, and it was hidden from the Gentiles, but now it has been revealed to the Gentiles. And he says this, he is the one, referring to Jesus, that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Working on behalf, Lord, as you place those in front of me that are in bondage and those that are in the prisons of life, and not necessarily are we talking about in jail, but just because of life circumstances, that God has called you and his love compels us to pray for them and to reach out to them to see that they are set free. There are many in our world that are blind, and they need to have their eyes open, and God has called upon you because of his love for you and I to minister unto them and to pray for them and to show them the way. So I wonder if this season we need to discover the Christ in us, the hope of glory. I wonder if there is someone I need to champion today. I wonder if there's someone that I need to support this Christmas season. I wonder if there's someone I need to defend. I wonder if because of Christ's indwelt presence, Luke 4 and in 18 is our mandate. I wonder when Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, he was also referring to us who have the Spirit of Christ, and that we too could say and should say that he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That is indeed the wonder of Christmas. And so the gift of love, we talked about it many times, and over in 1 John 3:16 says this, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Has your curiosity been stirred this morning about what Christ may be speaking to you about the wonder of Christ and or the wonder of Christmas and the love candle, and how Christ wants us to be that example, that messenger of love? I close with just a couple of quotes today, and then a reminder about our special meeting tonight. This Christmas, the challenge is this. What if we took some time to really show love to those around us. In the midst of the traditions and the giving and exchanging of gifts, what if we took time to love with actions and in truth? John seems to be saying to us, if you really know what love is, use what you have to help those around you in need. I think this season we are going to be more aware of those in need than we have ever before. And I think our world needs once again to see us as the examples, the messengers, the followers of Christ in whom his love dwells. The love that casts out all fear. The love that champions the cause. The one that comes and defends those that are weak. Those that today need to hear the good news. This year, let's show we know love. Let us allow love to conquer fear, to celebrate our fortune by seeking to champion others who are trapped by needs. Share love this Christmas, and if you have to, the quote says, use words. And I like Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If there's ever been a time, folks, that we live where we have had a rate in the news almost on a day-to-day basis, as we consider what's going on in the Middle East, especially over in Israel, and as we see and we just see how the world is really just focused on what's going on over there in that conflict, and our hearts are heavy for both sides, by the way. We are praying each day. I hope you understand that there are Christians in Palestine. I hope you know that there are people over there that love Jesus just as much as you and I. I hope you know that we need to be praying that the innocent over there would be protected. We need to pray for that. But I don't know where it's going to go. But I know this, that the Bible tells me that one day Jesus is going to come back. I tell you, the Bible tells me that Jesus is going to come back and set up his earthly king and kingdom. So I don't know, but the Bible tells me that, man, we're getting close. And the Bible tells me that, man, it could happen. And I just read you a scripture that says that we need to be encouraging one another all the more. And so today, I want to encourage you with the message of love. I want to encourage you. You got the message of love. It does cast out all fear. It is a message that really, it celebrates the fortune. I mean, we got good news out there, folks. And it is a message that helps us today to champion the cause of those that are not able to do it on their own. So let us pray this morning, and then we'll open up the altar for a time of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you today for your incredible love, that you loved us before we ever loved you. And it's because you are the prime mover, is you're the one that made the first move. And so, Lord, today we have the chance to respond to that move. And I pray, Father, throughout this church, as we enter into the season of Christmas, and that as we enter into Advent season, that you will stir up something fresh in all of our lives, that our holy curiosity of what we can do this Christmas, this season, to celebrate your love. Yes, that's right, but to show your love and demonstrate so that we can see the captive set free. So, Father, this day I want to pronounce freedom to the captives. Lord, for anybody that's here today that's just been struggling, just needed to once again know that, because I know what the enemy does. I know how the enemy comes along and beats us up and again discourages us. But today, may there be that awareness today. May everyone in this room be overwhelmed by the sense of your love today, and so that it not only overwhelms them, but Lord, that they just pass it on, and that Lord, they spread it, and Lord, they share it, and Lord, they demonstrate it in everything that they do. So Lord, we thank you for this season of Christmas. It is a wonder. It's a wonder for us. So Father, we just commit this message and this time in your hands, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I do want to open up the altars for those that just would like special prayer this morning, so I'm asking for the prayer team to come forward. And if you come and find your place around here, I also do want to remind you that we are having a prayer summit tonight. And prayer summits are so important to us, and we ask that you would take special time to come, and we will be praying specifically for for different places in our church, different ministries, different people that need our prayers. And if there's ever a time that we need you to come, that it's now. So, Father, Lord, we commit this time into your hands, and thank you for what you're going to do around these altars. And we give you the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And celebrate this season.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.